mind has yet to see what God is going to do. You have no idea, young person, older person, listen! God can do a revolution in your life. Sometimes the church is full sometimes of folks who want to get to heaven, and that's it. If you decide to sell out to Jesus, say, God, I'm yours. Use me. You have no idea what God is going to do.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, in the first part of this message entitled Impacted by Grace, Pastor Brian Grant led us to the Damascus Road where we found Saul of Tarsus breathing out threats and murder against the followers of the way. In the second part of the message we will hear this week, the stubbornness of Saul is overwhelmed by a face-to-face encounter with the risen Christ, and by God's saving grace, the rebel surrenders to the lover of men's souls and is transformed. Turn in your Bibles again to Acts chapter 9 as Pastor Grant continues his message entitled Impacted by Grace as we look at some of the dramatic changes that occurred in this man as the result of that encounter. Once again, here's Pastor Grant.
The response to grace. Saul was humbled in the presence of the Lord. He says, who are you? What? Lord. Who are you, Lord? Saul was humbled in the presence of the Lord. Jesus told him, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And from that time, Paul said nothing. I believe Saul realized he was in the presence of the Lord. He had been brought face to face with the glory of God. In Isaiah 6, we find the prophet Isaiah, as he shares his testimony, he tells us that it was in the year King Uzziah died that he saw the Lord. And Isaiah tells us that when he saw the Lord, he was blown away by the holiness of God. Isaiah was so blown away by the holiness of God, he became acutely aware of his own sinfulness. And so the Bible says, as he reflected on the holiness of God, Isaiah said, woe is me! I am in big trouble! Contrasted to the holiness of God, I am in big trouble! And oh, that's how we all started, didn't we? We all started in big trouble. But aren't you glad for grace? Impacted by his grace. So this morning, we are not those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're no longer in big trouble because we have seen, we have humbled ourselves in the presence of God. We have recognized his holiness. And oh, my friend, I would to God that this morning there would be somebody here who not only would sense how holy God is, but they would sense their own need. You would sense your own need of God's salvation. And you'd come to Jesus. But then Saul not only humbled himself in the presence of the Lord, but he was immediately obedient to the Lord's will. He was immediately obedient to the Lord's will. And so in Acts chapter 26, verse 19, he said to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Listen. That very day, Saul decided to follow Jesus. That very day, Saul decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody here and you're not following Jesus. Oh, you're in church today and we're glad you're here. But it's possible that you're here and you haven't decided to follow Jesus. Oh, it is my prayer that today, like the Apostle Paul, you might make a decision to obey God's will and to follow Jesus. But then, not only do we have the meaning of grace, not only do we have the intervention of grace, not only do we have the response to grace, but before I sit down, I want to talk to you a little bit about the impact of grace. Aren't you glad there's an impact of grace? I want to tell you, the impact of grace is much bigger than the fact that I'm going to be in heaven one day, and that's good enough, amen? If that was all, come on now. If the only impact of grace is that we'd be in heaven one day, that would be enough, amen? But thank God there's a whole lot more. Number one, first impact of grace, a changed life. Paul's life was changed immediately. This man who was persecuting the church became a fearless preacher of the gospel. And if you remember, as we read there in Acts chapter 9, initially the Christians were afraid of him. In fact, when the Spirit of God spoke to Ananias, Ananias said, no. The Lord says, please, Ananias, I need you to go and talk to Saul and lay your hands on him. He said, no, not Saul. We know about Saul. Saul has been killing Christians and locking them up. No, not Saul. God says, listen, he's my chosen vessel. You see what has happened? Listen, he changed him immediately. Boy, I tell you, what a word, God. Listen. You. Here's the point I hope some of you have been getting this. I have been trying with the help of the Spirit of God to get across to us that the world has yet to see what God is going to do with some person in this church who becomes totally sold out to Jesus. The world has yet to see what God is going to do. You have no idea, young person, older person. You say, oh, I'm too old. God is too late now. He can sing, but he can't. Listen! God can do a revolution in your life. You say, oh, he's going to need 10 years to change me. Did you notice how quick he changed Paul? We're going to get there in a minute. Did you notice how quickly it happened? But you see what happened? This was a man who was sold out. Sometimes the church is full sometimes of folks who want to get to heaven. And that's it. But if we ever decided to sell out, young person, if you decide to sell out to Jesus, say, God, I'm yours. Use me. You have no idea what God is going to do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Let's look at that verse as we roll along. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Read it with me. What is it? What deserves full acceptance? What? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Stop there for a minute. This is Saul speaking now. This is the same guy. He's saying, this is a trustworthy saying. You can depend on this. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, I wonder if there's a sinner here this morning. Because listen, if you're a sinner, then you can find a savior. He says he came to save sinners. And the apostle humbled himself. He says, of whom I am the worst. He says, but for this reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. Oh, he was kicking them pricks for a while. But you realize what Saul is also saying? Saul is saying, if God can save a wretch like me, if God can save me, he can save you. He says, if Christ might
display his immense patience. He said, but because of what he has done for me, he can do it for you. I can't make it any plainer. This morning, you're either going to say, Lord Jesus, I'm accepting your light. Or you're going to say, devil, block the light. But secondly, not only is there a changed life, he was a chosen vessel. The impact of grace, a changed life. The impact of grace, a chosen vessel. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. The Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. Listen, he became a chosen vessel. Can you imagine that God picks up this terrorist? He picks up a terrorist. You might not categorize him as that, but that's exactly what he was. As far as the church was concerned, Saul was a terrorist. And he picks him up and makes him a chosen vessel. Now, listen. I don't want you to miss this. Paul is no more a chosen vessel than you are. You see, God has a liking to pick up broken pieces of clay and use these broken pieces of clay as his chosen vessels. Can I show it in scripture? 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. Here's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But you are a... A what? You know, he's talking to those of us who are Christians, you know. He says we are a chosen... What else? A what? This next one is a royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, we feel so good about how Paul was so special and Paul and Saul was chosen. And sometimes we miss that God is saying that we are a special, that he has chosen us. He has made us. Listen, we are royalty. Somebody say amen to that. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Listen. His own special people. That's good. The impact of grace. Brothers and sisters, you know what this tells me? God wants to use me. A chosen vessel. God wants to use me. He wants to use you. Are you letting him? Are you letting him? You're special. He's specially chosen you. Are you letting yourself be made available to this master who picked up your broken piece of clay? Humpty Dumpty sat upon a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. And you fell, I fell, and we had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put this Humpty Dumpty together again. But I met a man named Jesus. I met a man named Jesus. And he has picked up the broken pieces and he has put them back together. And he now has regarded us as chosen vessels. people of his own, that, listen, but there was a purpose behind this. He says that we might proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a mighty thing God has done for me. The choir has a song about that. What a mighty thing. Oh, praise God. I want God to use me. How about you? I am going to make this vessel available to him. How about you? Are you going to say, please, God, use me? I don't want to be a bench sitter. I don't want to be a Christian at ease. I want you to use me to show forth the praises of him who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number one, the impact of grace, a changed life. Number two, a chosen vessel. But number three, a bold witness. Verse 20, the apostle at once, this is talking about Saul. It says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all those who call on this name? Oh, some of you used to cuss and carry on. Have you been now shouting about Jesus? Oh, God wants some folks to look and say, isn't that the same guy who used to raise havoc down here? Isn't that the same lady who used to raise Cain? Her mouth was such a... Come on now. But look at her. What's this all about? I thought you hated Jesus. Oh, but he did something for me, didn't he? He did something for me. Oh, he did something. I don't want you to miss this, though. Because I notice here that Saul didn't wait. There is a disconnect in our generation where folks feel, I get saved today, but nobody should know about it until I get proper training. So I gotta go on a 5-year education plan. Man, Saul got saved. And the Bible says at once he was out there in the synagogue preaching about Jesus. And I just want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Are you preaching? Are you telling anybody about this Jesus? You say, Brother Brian, I don't know enough. I have a feeling Paul didn't know a whole lot either. Come on now. He didn't know much more than you did. But you know what he knew? He knew that Jesus had saved him. And I tell you, I can always tell somebody. You can always tell somebody. You say, Brother Brian, I don't know a lot. You can tell somebody. You can say to somebody, you know, I want you to know about a Jesus. I realized I was a sinner, and he saved me. And I want you to know he has given me hope. And right now I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven because he saved me.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, you don't have to say a whole lot more. You might say, I don't even know the right scripture verse as well. Listen, you know, we can actually help you with some of that. But you know, don't wait till we help you. Tell somebody today. Just tell them what happened. I was a sinner. Jesus died for my sin. He was buried and was raised from the dead. And I repented of my sin. And I asked him to come into my life. And he did it. Can you do that? That's the message. I stand up here and I add all this extra stuff. But that's the core, that's the message. That's really it. Fourth, before you shut your Bible, the fourth thing before we close. Listen, the impact of grace, a changed life. I'm glad about that. A chosen vessel, a bold witness, eternal significance. Without the intervention of grace, Saul would have been just another terrorist. Create problems for a minute, and then he'd be gone. And just think of it, because of what happened in Acts chapter 9. Millions, billions will be in heaven. You ever thought of that? Billions will be in heaven because of the message he shared. Can I be very personal? It thrills me. As I prepared this message, it thrills me to know, despite my ups, my downs, my failures and successes, that it doesn't really matter, because of the opportunity God has given to share this message. Listen, I know people will be in heaven because the Spirit of God used me to share this message. My life has eternal significance because of grace. Because of grace, I'll be in heaven. But not only, you see, I'm excited to be there, but can I be honest? I'm excited that there's some other people who will be there because of grace. I want to encourage you, Christian friend. You may be sitting on the bench. I encourage you, make your life have eternal significance. I know you're working hard to have an incredible career and to make a mark in the world. That's great. But nothing will have eternal significance other than a life lived in accordance with the will of God. And so as I close, two challenges. If you're not saved, come to Jesus. If you're saved, say, Lord, use me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.